Eric in Colombia. You're on the air, first of all, out of the gate. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad we've had this talk. How can Tim help you?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Okay. Are you in Bogota? Are you out in the country? Are you in the mountains? Where are you?
I'm actually, the city's called Armenia. It's in the coffee growing region.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I've been living here for the past 6 months. I actually used to live in Salt Lake City.
Oh, right on. Okay.
So I used to hear the Catholic Cancer show there.
Oh, great. So Columbia by way of Salt Lake City. Happens all the time.
All the time.
Go ahead, Eric.
Well, my question has to do with intercessory prayer.
Yes.
I don't understand it very well because I feel like it seems to try to maybe change God's mind in a way.
And oh, right.
I don't understand the value of it, because if God is omniscient in the first place, he would
yes.
know the best possible outcome for a certain situation.
Right.
It shouldn't matter if I pray or not. That's the part that I kind of if I try to think it through, I come up to a kind of a halt.
Yeah. Well, Eric, here I will tell you what helped me in this regard. I remember years ago, I jokingly say, Eric, that I was Calvinist for about 2 weeks in my Protestant days, when I was struggling with grace and free will and so forth. And then after I became Catholic, it really got illuminated for me. I think the key here, Eric, and let me see if this helps you, is understanding that God has a providential plan. He knows the outcome of everything, no doubt about it. He knows the free choices that you and I are going to make. But within his providential plan, he did, in fact, give us free will. And because he is omnipotent, he is all-powerful, he has the power to do that. And that's not a weakness in God, as some Sunni Muslims would say. If we have free will, then God is not omnipotent. No, it's because of his omnipotence that he has the power to give us free will, so that he includes our free responses. And by the way, the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 2010-2010 talks about this, that God chose to include us and our free choices in his great providential plan of salvation. And that includes, Eric, our free yeses as well as our free noes. And so, you know, all of that is incorporated into God's providential plan, so that our yeses or our noes really do have an impact in the world and can have eternal consequences. That is an awesome thought, but it's absolutely true. Whether I share the gospel with someone or not could result in that person not being in heaven for all eternity. Now, we don't judge in particular situations because, you know, there's lots of contingencies and possibilities. Other people can reach him or this or that. But nevertheless, clear all that away, there is that real possibility because of this great gift of freedom. So when you understand God is sovereign, he's all-powerful, he has his providential plan, but that he includes in that plan, by that omnipotent power, yours and my free will, our free choices, that's what helped it to make sense to me. And look, if you don't get this, Eric, Scripture becomes unintelligible. You know, I mean, so we could start in Deuteronomy chapter 30, where God says to the Israelites, I lay before you life and death. He gives them the commandments. He tells them to choose life. If you obey my commandments, you will have life. You don't, you will have death. I mean, that's right from the beginning there. From Deuteronomy 30, we could go through to Matthew 23, you know, right near the end there. And where is that? About verse 47, as I recall, right near the end of the chapter there.
46.
Where Jesus says, you know, as he, in fact, in Luke's version of this, he weeps over Jerusalem. But in Matthew's mm-hmm. version, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how oft I would have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not. I mean, he is saying, I willed to gather you, but you refused. And then, of course, we could go to the end. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. I mean, verses like I just kind of covered the Bible there from the Pentateuch to the book of Revelation and everything in between. You have to understand this is one of the central themes of sacred scripture, the idea of free will. Without it, again, God becomes God playing games. Well, you may think you have free will, but you really don't because I'm the one pulling the strings. And that would be a very cruel God. In fact, he'd be lying to us because scripture is that clear.
Talk about crocodile tears or the tears of a sadist.
Yes.
If Jesus is God and he majors them fall, why is he crying?
Oh, my goodness. That's
absolutely about it that way.
You know, that's what led John Wesley, in fact, to famously say that, in fact, he goes a little bit stronger than we do as Catholics. When he talks about Calvin, he says it is demonic. He creates a monster God, says Wesley, of John Calvin.
Yeah, but we know that's not true because Calvin never says he's wrong. So.
But does that help, yeah. Eric?
Yeah, it does. It does help. I guess, like, I have trouble with the whole free will thing, I guess, because I could think of a prayer, like, if I pray for somebody's conversion, for example.
Yes.
Would God intervene more?
Yes.
Intensely in that other person's life just
yes.
because I prayed, and then
absolutely.
And then why wouldn't God do that in the first place without my prayer? I don't know. I guess
right.
I'm still a little wrapped up in.
Okay, Eric. Yeah, I think we can get wrapped up in the minutiae and we can go crazy, but what we can say, look, God is free. He can give grace to Saint Paul. Now we do believe, and I think there's good biblical reason to say that no doubt the intercession of Saint Stephen would have played a role in Paul's life. He was there at the martyrdom of Stephen. But nevertheless, God sovereignly moved in Saul's life and gave him particular graces that you and I will never dream of receiving. You know, God is free in that respect, so God can act however God wills to act. But because, Eric, God has chosen to use us and our free will, as members of the body of Christ, we affect healing in one another, and we reach out to those beyond the body to impact them as well. Yes, we believe that when you or I pray for someone, God will give them what we call particular graces. Particular graces are, you know, a wake-up call. They are not habitual graces like sanctifying grace, but a particular grace that wakes someone up because of your prayer. Now, they're still free. God does not coerce, so they can reject those graces. Of course, we keep praying, and God sends more grace. So that principle that you just enunciated there is sound, but you know we could forever think of, but wait a second, God could do this and God could do that, and all of that is true. But what we know is if we do this, God will do this. If we pray, God will act.
Eric, muchas gracias de Colombia. Appreciate your call very much.